this man really throw that with the left hand? Buddy, real nice.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. More preseason games underway, fantasy drafts. If you haven't already had yours, it's going to be coming up in the next week or so. So plenty of information for us to talk about. Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
What we're going to be doing in today's show is I've titled it Sleepers, but you can see guys that I think have a lot of value from what I talked about on Monday's show when I looked at the Yahoo rankings, the ESPN rankings. So this is, I guess, more deep sleepers, guys to pay attention to, not necessarily guys that I'd be targeting in drafts in a lot of cases, but guys who could have that opportunity if things change in a different way to how we're perhaps expecting it. So just some names to keep an eye on. I've got 25 guys I want to go through in today's show and just talk about what I look for them for this coming season, how things can go right, how things can go wrong, and how all that pans out. Tomorrow, it's going to be myself, Greg, and Kyle on the show doing some ADP battles, putting up a pick number, a group of players, and discussing which guy we would take at that specific spot. So stay tuned for that one as well. So let's get into talking about these sleepers now. The first guy I want to talk about is Caris LeVert of the Brooklyn Nets. Now, not so much of a sleeper as such. He is a draftable player, but he is getting as much buzz as anybody out of the Nets camp. I truly believe that he's a better player than the blue swimmer, Allen Crabb. I talked about this all of last season. I think he should be starting at least over Crabb or maybe over Damari Carroll. But regardless, he is going to get minutes. Now, whether he gets 26 minutes or 31 minutes is entirely dependent on Kenny Atkinson, and you'd probably lean towards the under or the lower number of that range, given the way Atkinson runs his minutes and the presence of Crabb and Carroll and Joe Harris. But LeVert is the best player of that bunch. He's the best fantasy option of that bunch. And if he's not someone who was drafted in your league, I'd look to add him off the waiver wire and someone to blow up, who could at some point become a top 70 player if he takes that big step forward, which I believe he will in this third season coming up. Next guy we talk about is Bill Hernangómez of the Charlotte Hornets. I went with one for every team. Obviously, only 25 players I'm doing, so it's not every single team. But I could have very easily gone with Miles Bridges here, who's looked excellent. And the absolute crud around him in Marvin Williams, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Frank Kaminsky means he could have an opportunity to play some minutes. Now, getting to 30 minutes might be a challenge for Miles Bridges, but Bill Hernangómez is a guy who doesn't need 30 minutes. He's coming off the bench at the moment behind Cody Zeller, but both of his preseason performances have been very strong. He's putting up numbers really at a high rate on a per-minute basis, and Hernangómez is worth that flyer with your last pick. He's clearly ahead of Bismack Biyombo, in my opinion, for that backup center role. Cody Zeller's missed significant time each of the last two seasons with knee problems, and if Hernangómez gets into a 27-minute-per-night role, it's a top 100 absolute lock, so someone that I look at as a last pick, or if not, someone I'm just keeping an eye on, because 22, 23 minutes, he can be Enes Kanter-Lite, which in those 23 minutes, that's potentially top 100 numbers right there for Bill Hernangómez. The next guy we'll take a look at is Ante Zizic of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, this is a much deeper cut. We've got Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson as the two alternating starting centers, whatever bullshit Ty Lue is going to run. And I predict that Ty Lue is going to be one of the coaches I hang the most shit on this season. Number one is going to be JB Bickerstaff, I'm pretty sure of that. Number two is going to be Dave Yeager. Then you're going to have the doctor, Michael Malone, in there. You're going to have Ty Lue. And for those of you who really love him, David Fizdale is going to be that mix. I'm almost certain I'm going to be hanging a lot of shit on him. I wasn't the massivest fan of him in Memphis, and I copped a lot of shit for that stance when he was fired. And I think that some of that stuff's going to come to fruition here with the Knicks, but that's up in the air. Bickerstaff's the number one, but Lue is going to screw things up. Zizic is a guy, much like Bill Hernangómez, that if he goes out there and plays 23 minutes a night, he will perform. He will get you a lot of rebounds. He will be a high field goal percentage, solid free throw percentage guy who will score and can block some shots. Thompson's nothing. He's a zero upside player on a team going nowhere. If the team is realistic, they should be looking to see what Zizic can develop. The only player they've really got back in that Kyrie Irving trade. So maybe they can, along with Colin Sexton, of course, something they can maybe get out of him. Larry Nance has his issues or his shortcomings at times, but Zizic is that guy that I just want to keep an eye on and see where he fits in the rotation. If Thompson gets hurt, if Nance gets hurt, which has been a common theme for Larry throughout his career, and Zizic moves into a 23-minute role or somehow pushes further than that, then he will become a standard league relevant player this season. I've got absolutely zero doubt that he would be able to do that. Now, I do need to remind you guys that today's show, very generously, is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Everyone loves going to sporting events or concerts or musicals. I know that there's a new musical starting in Melbourne here. I don't think Vivid Seats is going to help me here in Australia. But for you guys over in the States, I think we've got a Vita kicking off here. But there's plenty of musicals in Broadway, in Vegas, wherever you are. Vivid Seats is going to be able to help you. NBA season is right around the corner. NFL season's in full swing. The NHL season, I believe, starts today or tomorrow. I'm trying to get back into hockey a little bit more this season. Vivid Seats is the place to go for you to go and get those tickets. It's the place where you can go to get whatever ticket you like, the best ticket available at the best price that you can get. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners to this podcast an exclusive promo code, which is Locked On, one word, and that will save you $20 off any order of $200 or more for a new customer. Download the app from the App Store or from Google Play and use that promo code Locked On, one word, to save $20 off orders of $200 or more for new customers of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Let's talk the next guy, and that is Trey Lyles of the Denver Nuggets. I was a little bit cautious, I guess, is one way that you would say it when Malone was talking, or even Chris Dempsey in the offseason, that they're looking for him to become the third leading scorer on this team. And I thought that's a weird comment. Where is he going to get the minutes? He played like 14 minutes a game last season when Paul Millsap returned and was barely in the rotation. Now there's talk of him playing some small forward. Of course, Fart and Will Barton starting at small forward. There's Juancho Hernangómez, who looked excellent in their first preseason game. But Lyles is someone to pay attention to. When Millsap went down last year, he stepped up and was clearly a fantasy option for that stretch of time. Now, finding that role at this point is going to be tough. He's not someone that I'm looking at drafting in 12 or even 14 team leagues, but a name to watch who can score efficiently, who can rebound a bit. He needs to bring more on the defensive end, but if Malone is as committed as he appears to be in giving him minutes at small forward, which I think is a horrible fit personally, but if Malone is known for one thing, it's making horrible fits and horrible decisions. So that could actually come to fruition, and getting those minutes for Lyles would actually be pretty interesting. So he's someone to watch. I could have put one show in here as well, who had a shitful second season, great first year, but the first preseason game looked excellent and restored some of that faith I had in him from his rookie year, and just looked really good. And yeah, with a healthy preseason, it makes such a big difference, and Juancho did not have that last season. So he is an interesting guy, along with Trey Lyles, for the Denver Nuggets. For the Detroit Pistons, Luke Kennard, I've been talking about Kennard for quite a while. He started at shooting guard over Reggie Bullock in the Pistons' last scrimmage. At the time of recording, they haven't had a preseason game, but he is the best of that Stanley Johnson, Glenn Robinson III, Reggie Bullock quartet at the 2 and the 3. He is by far the best fantasy option. He can do the most things. Now, Bullock had a solid season. I think he is an extremely overrated fantasy guy because he does one thing. He hits threes at high efficiency. That's what he does. Rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, low scoring, doesn't get to long. He doesn't do shit in any of those other categories. So Kennard is the guy we want from a fantasy point of view to go and have a look at. And he is worth a late pick to see, because if he gets that starting job and he plays 30 minutes a night, he could very easily average 15 points and maybe get 3 assists and 5 rebounds and 1.4 steals. And that's worthy of that pick. So he's someone to watch how this preseason rotation works out for the Pistons, and to see exactly what spots Luke Kennard finds himself in the lineup. A high upside play, which is what we're looking for with sleepers, and his role is yet to be determined. His role is yet to be determined for the upcoming season. Quinn Cook of the Golden State Warriors. Hard to find a real sleeper for the Warriors. I could have gone with Jordan Bell. You all know about him. Kevon Looney, Damian Jones is likely to be the starting center. Or at this point, he's been the starting center, but it's not going to be a big minute role. But Cook is the guy who's going to be the backup point guard. Take some of those Nick Young minutes from last season. He was excellent in the G League. He was excellent when he replaced Steph Curry last season. And if they work him into a role as the first guard off the bench, ahead of Sean Livingston, which I think is possible, behind Clay and Steph, give him 20, 21 minutes a night, then he becomes standard league relevant on the nights when Curry sits, and deep league relevant all through the season as a high efficiency 3-point shooter who can generate assists, who can get some steals. And I think he is a starting caliber point guard for a shit team. Like, you put him on the Orlando Magic, he would be their starter and he would be a top 100 player, no doubt. But that's not the case, clearly. Just someone to watch, but it's a little bit tenuous to put him as a big sleeper because, of course, the players in front of him, Steph and Clay, it's a little bit hard for him to get this significantly large role. Unfortunately, Domantas Sabonis of the Indiana Pacers. I always talk about Sabonis' upside being limited by the fact that he gets absolutely nothing in the steals and blocks category, but it does appear that his minutes are going to be up this season. Thad Young is going to take somewhat of a step back. They're going to experiment with the Sabonis-Miles Turner front court combination, and while I don't love that combination, again, if the coach is going to do it, you have to pay attention to it. So Sabonis, who outplayed Miles Turner for stretches last season, can score, can pass, can rebound. Turner doesn't rebound very well. Sabonis, a much better rebounder there, but he does have his defensive limitations, and that does limit his upside. But if he gets 26 a night, which is a possibility between backing up Turner and backing up Thad Young, and they don't really have another backup power forward unless it's going to be Dougie McDirt or Bojan Bogdanovic, then Sabonis is a late round intrigue sort of a player with that last pick to see exactly how it may work out for him and how that rotation looks in Indiana for the Pacers. Very, very intrigued to see how he goes in this second season for his new team and if he can be any sort of a level of improvement in those defensive numbers, because that is something that is going to hold him back from being an elite fantasy player at any point in his career. Josh the Hitman Hart for the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers playing at the time of recording at the moment, and he is starting over Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I've said this for a long time. I think he's better than KCP, and I think he should be starting. I think there was a chance that he was going to start during the season. I didn't expect it to be in the preseason, but of course, Luke Walton is just trying to figure out what is going to work and experimenting with things, so not to say that it's going to stick. Now, he put up some great numbers last season, required about 34, 35 minutes to get there, maybe 33, sorry, working from memory, and finding that sort of a role with Lonzo, with Rondo, with KCP around might be tough for the Hitman, but he is someone to keep an eye on. If you want to grab him with the last pick, he's got significantly higher upside than Caldwell Pope, in my opinion, who Caldwell Pope had a strong top 100 season last year, but I'd be pretty stunned if he gets back to that level this season, even though he's not wearing the ankle bracelet for a big chunk of the year. I don't think he gets back to that level. Hart can rebound, he can assist, he gets steals, he hits threes, he can be efficient, whereas KCP is more of an inefficient three-point shooter with some steals, doesn't have quite the well-rounded game than what the Hitman does. So he is definitely someone that I'm paying attention to. I want to see how this Lakers rotation starts off. Lance Stephenson should not be in it at all, and if he's taking any minutes away from Hart, then Luke Walton is going to move up my shit list pretty quickly, but he is someone to pay attention to, especially in this second preseason game, to see how that all pans out. I do need to tell you guys, though, make sure you are listening to Locked On NBA. It is a 5-day-a-week daily NBA podcast. We've never gone away through the preseason, and we are still here for you now. It is the daily national NBA podcast you should be listening to. Every Monday, I host the show, and I get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30-minute shows on everything going on in the NBA. Subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, you know, all the usual places, or get your smart speaker to play the podcast Locked On NBA. Next one we have a look at is Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat. Hassan Whiteside has started off the preseason very, very strongly, and he could be coming in as a real sleeper. I still do worry about how he is going to be in late game situations, how Eric Spoelstra is going to handle that, and whether he is going to play that. But Whiteside put up like a 20 and 10 double-double in like 24 minutes in preseason game one. Adebayo is the guy that if they do decide to move on from Whiteside or limit him, he has got this ability to be, at some point in his career, maybe a top 25 player, a well-rounded guy with blocks and steals, some assists, some scoring, some efficiency. Maybe the threes can come. There is some real, real overall upside ability for Adebayo. At this point, he's not a draftable guy. There's still Kelly Olynyk there, but if Jim Johnson continues to struggle with the hernia, Olynyk will be playing more minutes at power forward, meaning the backup role at center is going to go to Adebayo. So he's a guy to watch, especially considering how this Whiteside situation goes and if Whiteside's knees can hold up for the season. That's going to give him more opportunities for Bam, who was really, really strong in his rookie season, much better than I anticipated. Sterling Brown of the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got Malcolm Brogdon, likely the starting shooting guard, and then you've got Tone Snell backing up the two, and then you've got an option there at the three. There's Pat Connaughton, but I think Sterling Brown is better than Tony Snell. I think he's better than Pat Connaughton, and he should be playing 20-odd minutes per night. If Brogdon gets hurt at all, or if he falters and Brown steps up, Sterling Brown is one of those guys coming into the draft who had fantastic fantasy statistical translations, showed it in stretches last season as well. A big-bodied guy who can hit the three, who can defend the two and the three as well, I think, can move the ball, can handle it a little bit, really got some strong upside. Now, of course, he's just a deeper league guy at this point, but he's a name that you need to pay attention to when we see how the Bucks rotations shake out, what happens with Snell if injuries strike them down. Brown is that guy that if he finds himself in a big role, he would be someone for us to pay attention to, but just a name to watch just at this point for Sterlo. Tyus Jones, this one's pretty obvious. I talk about Tyus Jones all the time. There's a potential he's the best point guard on this Timberwolves roster. He is going to be really limited, though. But if he gets moved, if he gets to a starting role somewhere, he will be a top 100 guy. He has to battle Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague at the moment.
My name is Jeff.
We don't know what's happening in the Jimmy Butler deal. That's currently stagnant. So Jones is someone just to really pay attention to. In a deeper league, in a draft-only format, you want to grab Jones because that ability for him to be moved, there's lots of possibilities at the moment. And if he gets into that role, the efficiency, the assists, the steals, they're all really valuable from Tyus. And I like him long-term. I think he's a top 70 type upside player at some point in his career. He just needs to get away from Tom Thibodeau, who apparently is the only person in the world who doesn't think that Tyus Jones is good. Next up, Frankie Jackson of the New Orleans Pelicans. Jackson can't get anything right with his feet. Missed all of last season with a broken foot, 12 minutes in summer league and looked awesome, sprained his ankle, and then the first preseason game, sprained his ankle again, but looked excellent in that time. He played over Jarrett Jack as the backup point guard. He looked better than Ian Clark. Alfred Payton struggled a little bit, so there is an opportunity there for Frank. It's more of a deeper league type of play, but this is something I said months ago in the offseason, that I wouldn't be stunned if Jackson at some point gets an opportunity to start because Payton sucks. That's a possibility. So Jackson is more of a scorer, a high usage type of a scorer who's not going to be a high assist player, but absolutely is someone to watch depending on how that Clark, Payton, Jarrett Jack grouping of guards goes in New Orleans. Of course, there's Drew Holiday, but they are sort of committed to playing him as the shooting guard with some ball handling responsibilities. And I think Jackson and Holiday would work well together. Not a draftable guy in most situations, but absolutely someone to watch with that weird sort of situation going on in the starting point guard, backup guard zone in New Orleans. John Isaac, again, this is a draftable player. He started the first game for the Magic at small forward, which was excellent. Sprained his ankle, which was not excellent. And we know that he missed about 70 games last season, or 60 games with that sprained ankle last season. It's not too bad, but it's always a pain in the ass for that to be the case. This will likely push his ADP down a bit, maybe outside the top 100, and I would still be all about grabbing him in those later rounds for that steal, block, rebound potential, some offensive upside as well. But it was telling to me that they did start him at small forward in game one, had a block in those 8 minutes before he sprained his ankle as well, which is going to be the calling card of his fantasy value, and I feel confident that he's going to be able to do that. It's just a real pain in the ass that injury curtailed that beginning performance for him for this preseason. But someone to watch, and maybe the sleeper status is reinstated with that ankle injury and people looking, oh man, his ankles are made out of corn chips. He's not going to be able to play ankles all last season. And yeah, it's annoying, no doubt. But again, one injury or an injury like that doesn't mean it's going to continually happen. I had someone tell me the other day, someone said, I don't even know where I read it. Maybe it wasn't to me. And they said, I drafted Ben Simmons over Joel Embiid at the start of the second round because I don't need that sort of injury risk of guys missing whole seasons. And yeah, okay. Embiid missed two whole seasons. Simmons missed one. And I think there's weird narratives. Oh, Embiid, man, he's always hurt. Simmons missed an entire season as well. And I'm not saying that Simmons is an injury-prone guy, and Embiid probably is more injury-prone, but using that as an example to say I'm picking Simmons over an Embiid because of injuries, even though Ben Simmons has missed entirely 50% of his NBA career due to injury, is a weird rationale to me. So there are definite narratives that strike around certain players. Markelle Fultz of the Philadelphia 76ers, he hit a corner three in game two of the preseason. He started again. I think he's going to start the regular season. I think he's going to play 30 minutes. And he has a real, I said top 100 of the day. I think he's got a real shot at the top 70. He blocks shots. He gets steals. He rebounds. He gets assists. if he can get the field goal and free throw percentage to a solid level and score 15 points a game, he is really, really starting to look good. There's a reason he was the number one pick in the NBA draft. There's a reason he has top 50 type upside for Dynasty, maybe even higher. And if he's going to start and play 30 minutes per night, he has to be drafted in every single league. Now, I was a little bit cautious of picking him at pick 100 if we assumed he was getting a 24-minute bench roll. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think he's going to push 29 to 30. It's going to limit TJ McConnell, who's out of the rotation, which was a little thing that I was a bit worried about as to how that would work with McConnell in that rotation. But for now, Fultz is it's full steam ahead for me, and he is a draftable guy in those mid to late rounds. And still got a lot to work on, clearly, but it's all starting to come together for the number one overall pick from last season. Let's look at Zachy Collins in Portland. Myers Leonard had probably the better game in the first preseason game, getting some extra minutes there with the absence of Ed Davis. But Collins is the guy they believe in. That's why they let Davis leave, to give Collins that opportunity. A unicorn-ish type big man, a shot-blocking three-point shooter who can get some steals and rebounds. He does need to work a lot offensively and get stronger defensively. But if Nurkic has injuries, which happens quite a bit, if Nurkic has form struggles, which happens quite a bit, then Collins could jump himself up. Not a draftable guy at this point, but someone to pay attention to, someone to watch to see what develops in Portland. If things go bad and they blow shit up, then Collins could be in for a larger role. So a name to watch, who I think is in prime position to increase his output this second season. Jakob Poeltl in San Antonio. I think he's going to start at some point this season over Pau Gasol. Regardless, I think by the end of the year, he will play more minutes than Pau Gasol, whether that's starting or coming off the bench. High field goal percentage, shot blocking, rebounding type player who will play alongside LaMarcus Aldridge, and I think will take that jump up and is a standard league draftable player, maybe going under the radar in certain circumstances. But if you've got the option between Poeltl and Pau Gasol, you take Poeltl 100 times out of 100. Gasol is still great. He's still an excellent player, but the minutes are going to be limited, and Poeltl is going to fit, I think, better what San Antonio wants. He's not going to have rest nights like Pau will. He's not going to have limited minutes to a degree, but he is a strong option and I think a draftable player at this point in the fantasy basketball drafting process. Let's look at Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors threw a bit of a spanner into the works by starting Serge Ibaka in game one, but game two, it's Jonas Valanciunas back in that starting center role with Ibaka coming off the bench. I've been pretty vehement about my dislike for Ibaka for fantasy this season, and I don't think he's a top 100 guy, and I actually threw it out there that I think Siakam will end up playing more minutes per game than Ibaka. Well, actually, sorry, what I said is I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I don't think it happens, but I wouldn't be surprised. Siakam can do many things. He's taken big leaps forward heading into his third season, and while the minutes are probably capped by Ibaka and Valanciunas' presence, Siakam can get minutes. He will get minutes, definitely, and he is someone that I look for. If you're looking for a field goal, rebound, block type of boost at the end of a draft, grab him, see what happens over the first bit of the season, see how everything meshes with this Toronto Raptors lineup, of course, trying to incorporate the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
And Siakam is that high upside young big man that we are all interested in seeing how it works out. Let's go to Jay Crowder in Utah, the backup small forward, backup power forward. There is Thabo Sefolosha there as well. Now, Crowder's a guy that I was never as high on as other people were in Boston, and I was well down on him at the beginning of last season. That worked out pretty well in my favor. I think people are going a long way in the other direction for Crowder. He was solid enough when he came across to Utah. Derek Favors is far from durable and far from sensational as the starting power forward, and Crowder can get to 28, 29 minutes. That can have some sneaky value. More of just a name to watch, or a 14, 16 team league guy at this point in the season, but definitely someone to watch who's got the ability to step forward. We've already got Joe Ingles nursing a bit of a sore leg, and Favors dealing with an illness at the moment. So there is an opportunity here for Jay Crowder. We also have to remember that Thabo is suspended for the first five games of the regular season as well on a drug offense. Kevin Huerter of the Atlanta Hawks is a sleeper there, I believe. Now, DeAndre Bembry is probably someone I could have put in here. Now, I was massive on Bembry heading into his rookie season. I thought that he had potential to be a better player than the artist formerly known as Prince, and that could still happen, but it's clearly he's a long way behind now. But he filled that sixth-man role in the Hawks preseason game. I think he scored 20 points. He handled the ball. He was well ahead of Tyler Dorsey, well ahead of Huerter, well ahead of Justin Anderson, who was out with an injury. But Huerta's the guy that they want to see him work with Trae Young. So maybe Maybe at the start of the season, we don't see much out of Huerta, but later in the year, a ball handling, high percentage 3-point shooter, which Huerta is definitely someone to watch for when Bazemore is shipped off. There's an opportunity. Maybe Bembry fills it, but Huerta's the guy that I'm interested in, but Bembry is a sleeper type pick for the Hawks as well. Both of these guys are going to have that opportunity, and I feel pretty confident about both of them being ahead of Tyler Dorsey. The interesting one is where Justin Anderson fits in, who's still dealing with the ramifications of leg surgery over the preseason and is likely to miss the beginning of the regular season as well. Isaiah Hartenstein in Houston. At this point, it looks like Eric Gordon is going to start at the three. James Ennis and Carmelo Anthony coming off the bench. We didn't get much of an indication on that from today's preseason game because Tucker and Gordon are both out, so Mallow and Ennis both started. So there's something interesting happening there, but one of the more curious things is the fact that Hartenstein seems to have a step ahead of Marquese Chriss for the backup center role. Now, Nene is the backup center behind Clint Capela, but he can't play every night and he can't play big minutes. Hartenstein, like I talked about with Sterling Brown earlier, a rookie who translated very, very well, put up some strong numbers for Rio Grande Valley in the G League last season and looked pretty good in Summer League. A high steal rebound block guy who can hit some threes, can stretch it a little bit, and if he is getting backup center minutes on those nights that Nene is out, there is value there, and I like his long-term upside. But if he can find himself into a regular type role, he's someone just to watch in most situations. But remember that name. Remember Isaiah Hartenstein, because I think at some point we're going to see him become a regular fantasy contributor. It may not be this season, but he's absolutely a name to pay some attention to for the Houston Rockets. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the LA Clippers. We're not 100% sure what his role is going to be. Miloš Teodosic was out with a hamstring injury for preseason game one, but Shai came in as the backup behind Pat Beverly, had four steals and a block, and looked really at home there. Avery Bradley stunk as per usual. He's been shithouse for pretty much every year of his career, apart from that one where he had that weird season in Boston with that big rebounding numbers. Shai at some point should be getting those minutes ahead of Avery and ahead of Miloš. We don't know how Doc Rivers is going to run it, but it was an encouraging first preseason outing for Shai. Patrick Beverley's a pretty interesting trade chip, and if they move on from him and give Gilgeous-Alexander those minutes, he will have an opportunity to be a top 100 guy. For now, he's a strong dynasty asset, probably 7 or 8 out of the rookies in terms of rookie rankings for dynasty leagues, depending on how you feel about Marvin Bagley. But Shai looked good there, and he's going to have an impact at some point this season. It just remains to be seen where. So not a standard league draftable guy, but absolutely a name that you've got to pay some attention to with the LA Clippers. Let's go to the next guy, and that's Mitchell Robinson in New York, clearly the backup center. Enes Kanter's defensive concerns are an issue, and I think by some point in the season, you'll be getting 25 a night from Mitchell Robinson. Not points, minutes, and that means 2 blocks. That means 8 rebounds. That means 60% field goal on decent attempts to be influencing there. And I love him as a last pick in a standard draft at the moment. Already the backup center. Kanter could struggle with that playing time. And Robinson's ability to come in and be impactful from day one, I think that's already available for us to see. I just want to touch on the Knicks here. Kevin Knox, the fourth strong first game from him. The David Fizdale lineup combinations were infuriating. I have no idea why you would start Lance Thomas over Mario Hezonja, and then even less idea why you would bring Emmanuel Mudiay off the bench ahead of Frank Ntilikina as well. Just some pretty weird lineup decisions from Fizdale early on in New York. We'll see how that all shakes out. But starting Lance Thomas over Mario Hezonja is nonsense. But talking sleeper style, if you drafted Hezonja in a standard league, I'll still hold on to him. He played pretty well in that bench role, and Thomas barely saw the court. But same with Ntilikina, just see how that bears out. But Robinson, I think, is going to be a very impactful top 100 guy at some point, probably next season, and may even sneak into the top 70 as early as next year as well. The Thunder was a hard one to me. Could it be Patrick Patterson, who I think is the favorite to start at power forward now ahead of Jeremy Grant? Could it be Grant? I think both of those guys are pretty limited fantasy-wise. Grant can block shots and people get really excited when he throws a dunk down on someone or blocks a big shot, but everything else about his game is so underwhelming and his minutes aren't going to be high. The backup center role that he had at times last season, same with Patterson, it's not going to be there because Nerlens Noel is there. And I think both Patterson and Grant, if they're splitting those power forward minutes, they'd need 34 minutes a night to probably be top 100 fantasy guys anyway, and neither of them are going to get it. With the injury to Russell Westbrook, with the injury to Andre Robertson, there's a spot there on the wing. Now, is it Alex Abrines, is it Terry Ferguson, or is it Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot? I like Luwawu-Cabarrot. I think he's got the most well-rounded fantasy game or real-life NBA game out of those three players. He's got an opportunity to play backup minutes behind Paul George and be a starter at the two while Robertson is out. But then, so I don't think he's a standard league guy at this point, but he's a name to watch if Abrines and Ferguson continue to underwhelm. And deeper leagues would want to pay some attention to Luawu Cabarrot, who's had some strong stretches at the end of his rookie season in Philadelphia, did struggle with some injuries and form last year, but an opportunity for him with areas ahead of him having that ability to jump forward and maybe put up some interesting numbers. Shaq Harrison in Phoenix, I think he's going to start to begin the year with Devin Booker out. I think Booker should be that starting point guard, but Harrison gets steals. He can rebound and get assists, and I don't mind taking him with a last pick because I just don't know what Phoenix is going to do. Will they start Booker and Jackson, or will they start Harrison and Booker and bring Jackson off the bench? I think we can feel pretty confident that De'Anthony Melton and Ali Okobo aren't standard league fantasy players at this point, but Harrison could very well be, and he is a name to watch at the end of your draft to see, especially if you need steals or as a streaming option. He started their first preseason game where DeAndre Ayton, by the way, looked really good. And I think Ayton is a strong top 50 player for this season. The last guy I want to talk about is Harry Giles III. The Kings are going to be frustrating. They literally ran a four-center lineup in the game the other day, and there was no Nemanja Bjelica in that game. They proceeded to start Justin Jackson at the three, who is not an NBA-caliber starting player. The Kings aren't an NBA-caliber team, but Jackson still shouldn't be starting. But, of course, there's no Bogdan Bogdanovic. There's no Nemanja Bjelica as well. Giles, I think they're going to go pretty slowly on Giles. I don't like Marvin Bagley, Willie Cauley-Stein, Skel Labissiere, Zach Randolph-Kostakoufos, who I think will barely play. So there is some, I guess, some traffic there in the front court, but Giles is a guy that we want to see some upside from. I worry that Jaeger's going to completely screw everything up with this team, which he's done so far. He hasn't had much to work with, but he also has not been optimal in the way he's tried to work with it. But Giles is an upside-ish type of guy. You know, I like Barter and De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan and those guys, and I don't like Bagley or Justin Jackson. But Giles is an interesting type player who's had those knee problems, back ready to go, ready to make his NBA debut. I wouldn't be drafting him in standard leagues, but it's a name to watch if Cauley-Stein struggles, if Bagley struggles, if Labissiere falls out of favor with Dave Jaeger as well, which are all massive possibilities. That'll wrap it up for some guys that I like to keep an eye on for this season. Again, tomorrow we're doing an ADP battle podcast. I think that might go a while with me, Kyle, and Greg all on the one show, so stay tuned for that. Check out the Dynasty Show as well on your regular podcast feed, or you can see the separate videos over on YouTube. Go and subscribe and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. And on YouTube, smash subscribe. Hit the bell, leave a comment, give me a thumbs up. Let me know what you want to say. Leave a review. Do all that great stuff. It is a great way for you to go and help this podcast. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. CJ McCollum.